at the beginning of the Seder, right, everyone's saying, but actually when we're referring to the Seder and the Seder night, we're referring to the opportunity to fulfill numerous mitzvot. For example, which mitzvot, right, think of how many mitzvot we have to be able to fulfill in a very short amount of time, such as?
Like matzah.
Achilat matzah, mido reita.
Sipur
Yetziat Mitzrayim. Excellent. A one-night mitzvah, a few-hour mitzvah that we have. Beautiful. What else? Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim, simultaneously. Excellent. What else?
Pesach. And we don't
really
do it.
Chinuch, you say?
Achilat
Pesach. So we don't really do it. You're right. Once upon a time, we were able to. Now, at least, we definitely remember that mitzvah of Karbon Pesach.
We do
chinuch
a lot.
So that's part of what we're going to see, Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, meaning it's a special mitzvah, meaning chinuch is like all the time. But this is a special mitzvah for Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. And on the night of the Seder, what else?
Maror
Midrabanan, Heseba Midrabanan, Arba Kosot Midrabanan. Can I think about all these?
We're going to lock them.
Hallel, excellent. We're going to see how Hallel fits in. Beautiful.
Oh, I say a lot of them are like Durabanan, so.
Right, Durabanan, still important mitzvot.
No, it wasn't a level up of criticism.
Meaning the night of Seder is literally replete with mitzvot, right? Both on the Zoraita and on the Durabanan level. And now what we're going to see is that, again, in addition to matzah that we still have, mido reita according to most, again, even though it's a machloket, we're going to see that Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim clearly we have. And the question is, how do we fulfill this mitzvah? So the truth is that we don't have to invent the wheel because Gan Chazal have already, again, as you see in the Gemara, the Kuf Tet Zayin, Amalef, and in Arvei Pesachim, again, now we see the exact Mishnayot that teach us how to fulfill this mitzvah. But before we actually then are going to engage in how we fulfill this mitzvah, then now we're going to note the difference, firstly, between Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim and Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim. So even though when we talk about the Seder, yes, Kadesh Rachatz are part of it, but really it's the Seder, it's literally the order through which we can fulfill Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, which is truly remarkable, right? That we have so many different aspects to ensure that we're going to properly fulfill this mitzvah. So let's take a look. Again, notice that the Rambam, in Hilchot Chametz Umatzah, you know that the Rambam is super classified, organized, and therefore it's not just what he says and how he says it, but where he says it, that is going to help qualify, again, how we understand the Rambam's appreciation of certain mitzvot. So as soon as I hear Chametz Umatzah, I know that he's talking about, obviously, exclusively the mitzvot of Pesach. Mitzvot Aseh Shel Torah. Lesacher benisim uveneflaot shenasu lavoteinu b'mitzrayim v'leil chamishasar benisan. So there's a mitzvah of Sipur when?
The night.
Particularly on the night. Gena shenasu lavoteinu b'mitzrayim. Meaning on the night of Tetvav, right? Yud Dalet at night, Lil Tetvav. Shenamar, look carefully. He says we learn this from Shmo Perik Yugimel, which comes right after Shmo Perik Yubet, which is when we left Mitzrayim. Wherein it says, Kadesh l'kol b'chor, petar kol rechem b'bnei Yisrael, b'adam u'b'beima lihu, b'yomar Moshe la'am, zachar et hayom hazeh asher yitzatem mimitzrayim. The Rambam says, which mitzvah are we going to learn from this? Zachar et hayom hazeh. Remember this day. From here we see, which day? The day that we left Mitzrayim. So that is the mitzvah of Sipur. How are you going to remember the mitzvah of Sipur? How are you going to remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim? On the day, or literally the anniversary of that ceremonious event, what are you going to do?
Zachor.
Excellent. Zachor. You're going to remember. The Rambam says, how do you remember? Sipur. You retell the story, right? So I want to remember what happened on Purim, right? So I'm going to retell what happened on Purim. Did you all have a meaningful Purim? Yes, you see, Yom Pesach Megillah was beautiful.
So nice.
So nice. Again,
I love it.
Who won the, again, the costume contest?
I don't think you chose someone.
Ah, oh, really? Oh, no.
For which one, though?
The Megillah one. Yeah, I don't think they chose
one. Yeah, they were creative.
They were creative.
Yeah. I thought they were very good.
Yep. Again, Kamoshan Amar, Zachor Tema Shabbat. Keep this in mind, that the Rambam compares Zachirat Yitziat Mitzrayim to Zachor Tema Shabbat. So Zachor Tema Shabbat, how do we remember Shabbat? Who knows, how do we fulfill this? Kiddush. And you say something. So the Rambam says, this is the basis for the mitzvah d'orait of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. What's interesting, Rashi, on the same pasuk, says, what do we learn from Zachor Tayom Hazeh? Not Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, but rather... Excellent. Lamecha maskir in Yetziat Mitzrayim b'chol yom. From here we learn the daily mitzvah of Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim. right? Fascinating. Again, why do I say fascinating? Because we know that there is a mitzvah of Sipur and there is a mitzvah of Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim. So notice that Rashi says we learn Zechira from Zachor. According to Rambam, we learn Sipur from that. Let's take a look at the Gemara. The Mishnah actually begins Maskirin Yitziat Mitzrayim Valilot. We have, again, this is a Mesechah Brachot, not a Mesechah. We have a daily mitzvah to remember Yitziat Mitzrayim even at night. We're going to see this in just a minute because we actually repeat it in the night of the Seder as well. And why would I not have thought that I have a mitzvah of Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelot? Because when did we actually leave Mitzrayim?
During the day.
During the day. Right? And so, Amar Abeloza Ben Azariah, Hareini Kiven Shivim Shana. Right? You know how we say this? Again, Beloza Chitisha Tamar Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelot. I always thought you only say it during the day. But Achadarsha Ben Zoma. And Ben Zoma learned from, take a look at the Pesukim in Devarim Perek Tzitzai, in the fifth time that Pesach is mentioned, Leman Tizkor et Yom Tizcha Meret Mitzrayim Kol Yemecha Yecha, Yemecha Yecha Hayami and Kol Yemecha Yecha Halelot. Anyone remember why is this in the first Perek of Brachot? What does the first Perek of Brachot deal with? Da-dam, da-dam, Kriyat Shema, Dafka Shel Arvit. Right? Yeah. So, and then we go into Kriyat Shema Shel Yom. So, Kriyat Shema, and what is the main mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? When I say Shema Yisrael, what am I doing? Kabbalat Ol Mechut Shemayim, Vahayam Shema, Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot. And yet, Chazal instituted, wait, we have a mitzvah d'oraita of Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim. How are we going to fulfill that? Through Shema, the third paragraph, right? This is how we're going to remember Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim. Take a look at this. Gana, so the Mishnah says, initially I thought it would have flowed only during the day. Now I learned that I have to say three paragraphs of Kriyat Shema even at night. Otherwise, how many would I have said at night? Just the first two.
Wait, so then three in the day and at night?
Correct. That's what we do.
I thought that was like total three. Like meaning three. Meaning
Shema Vahavta, Vayam Shema, Vayam Rahashem.
Okay, got you.
Three parashiyot of Kriyat Shema. That being the case, Gana, this is what the Mishnah says. We learn that from Leman Tizkor et Yom Tizcha Meret Mitzrayim Kol Yemecha Yecha. So wait a second. According to the Mishnah, we learn Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim from Devarim, Leman Tizkor. So according to Rashi, what does Zachor et Hayom Hazeh mean? So according to Rashi, Zachor et Hayom Hazeh teaches you Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim b'yamin. Leman Tizkor Kol Yemecha Yecha teaches you Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim b'leilot. Anyone know where Rashi learns Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim from? Close. Vayak Yishlach Avincha Machar Lemor, meaning a few psukim, again after Shmo Perek Yigemol, basically in Pasuk Chet, it says, and when your son asks you, Ma Avodazot Lachem, then Vigadzat Alevincha Bayomahu. So Rashi says, what's Vigadzat Alevincha Bayomahu? Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. On that day, you're going to actually retell the story. So very nice. Now I understand how Rashi understands all of this. But now I'm a little confused. Because according to the Rambam, where do I learn Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim from? Well, it's not even the Rambam, it's the Mishnah. The Rambam, Gemara said, Leman Tizkor et Yom Tizcha Meret Mitzrayim, Kol Yimei Chayecha. Gena, both the day and the night. Where do I learn Sipur from? Not Vihigatata, I learn it from Zachor et Hayom Hazeh. Right, everyone see the machloket over here? Mm-hmm. Now let's see how the Rambam in fact paskins. He paskins in Hilchot Kriyat Shema, meaning there isn't a separate mitzvah called Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim. There's a separate mitzvah called, altogether, Sipur, but there isn't a separate mitzvah called Zechira, like the Mishnah seems to imply. Again, rather explains the Rambam in Hilchot Kriyat Shema, Afal pi she'im mitzvah tzitzit, noheget balayla, even though the third paragraph of Shema that deals with tzitzit, but we don't have the mitzvah of tzitzit at night, who remembers why not? The whole concept is to be able to see it. Nonetheless, we're going to say the third paragraph because of Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelot. Umitzvah lahazkir Yitziat Mitzrayim Bayomu Balayla. So the Rambam corroborates again what was said already in the Mishnah, and that is that there is a mitzvah of Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim daily at night and during the day to remember Yitziat Mitzrayim. And we learned that just like the Mishnah said from Leman Tizkor Yom Tizcha Meret Mitzrayim. And how do I fulfill that? Through Kriyat Shema. So now let's take a look. And the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot, right? The Rambam counts and collects all the mitzvot. And the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot, he says something very interesting. He says, Mitzvah Kuf Nun Zayin is a mitzvah l'saper b'yitziat Mitzrayim v'lo chamisha asar b'nisan v'tchilat halayla k'fi tzachud l'shon ha'misaper. וכל מה שיוסיף במאמר ויעריך הדברים בגדלת מה שעשה לנו השם, ומה שעשו ממנו המצרים מעבל וחמאס, ואיך לקח השם נחמתינו מהם, ובהודות לו, and part of what we want to do is also thank השם, יתברך על מה שגמר לנו מחסדיו, יהיה יותר טוב, then this is why כל המעריך לספר בתיאת מצרים הרי זה משובח. So the Rambam says, we have one night, when we have a special unique mitzvah called Sipur Yetzei Mitzrayim, and the Rambam says the goal is to retell the story and to get to a state where uvahodot lo yitbarach, where we thank Hashem, right, for taking us out of Mitzrayim, and v'hakatuv shebal hatzivoy hazeh amru yitbarach v'hagata levincha bayom ho. So now the Rambam says we learn Sipur from zachor et hayom hazeh v'hagata. It's really just an elaboration on the mitzvah, but the mitzvah is really zachor. Leman tiskor teaches you zachira, not sipur, right? And again, now we're a little confused though, because the Rambam counts sipur as a mitzvah, but he doesn't count zachira as a mitzvah. He counts saying kriyat shema as a mitzvah, but I don't just say kriyat shema for zachira titzia mitzrayim. Again, why else do I say kriyat shema? For kabbalat omachut shamayim. So, Why doesn't the Rambam count Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim as a mitzvah? Good question. Yeah, so the Karen Ora, the Sukkot Shavar, asked this question. He says, V'nei Yetziat Mitzrayim b'chol yon v'bo'ar b'shas d'min ha-Torahi. V'lo yadati l'chura, lama lo mena'o ha-Rambam zachrono l'bracha b'minyan ha-mitzvot, ki lo mana ela sipur b'lo pasach levad. I don't understand why the Rambam counted sipur, but he didn't count Zechirat. Zechirat Amalek, but he counted Zechirat Amalek as a mitzvah. He counted Zechirat Shabbat in Minyan HaMitzvot, but not Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim. Anyone want to conjure? And there are various answers. I like the Karen Ohr's answer the best. You'll see why. But any possibilities? Why don't you think the Rambam counted Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim as a mitzvah? So Karen Ohr says,
isn't it because like Zechor would also, like, it applies all the time?
Very nice. So that's one possibility, right? But the Rambam says that Zachor doesn't teach us Zechira. It teaches us Sipur. So that he counts. But he doesn't count Zechira Tisiyat Mitzrayim, which he learns from, and the Mishnah, Leman Tizkor. So the Karen Ora explains, he says, because when it comes to Shabbat, when it comes to Amalek, when it comes to even Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, what is the terminology?
It's a commandment.
Zachor. That's right. It's a commandment to do what? To do something. What do we do to remember Amalek? We just said this.
We
read Parshat Amalek, right? Parshat right. Zachor, Mido Raita. What do we do to remember Shabbat?
Say Kiddush.
Beautiful. Then what do we do to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim? Remember Yetziat Mitzrayim. According to the Rambam, what do we do to remember in an active form?
We speak.
That's exactly it. So says the Karen Oran, again, Zachor Tashar Salach HaMalek, Aval Zachira Yetziat Mitzrayim Lo Ne'amar B'Lashon Tzivoy, but the Rambam says that the mitzvah of Zachira, we don't learn from Zachor, we learn from Lema'an Tizkor. What does Lema'an Tizkor mean grammatically?
So it's like
do something so that you will remember. And so what do we do so that we'll remember?
Sipur.
We say Kriyat Shema, right? But the Kriyat Shema is the mitzvah, it's not that you do the Leman Tizkor, so that almost subliminally you'll also remember. But you're not going to actively remember. When do you actively remember? When the word Zachor is there. When the word Zachor is there, what do you have to do? Sipur. Right, everyone see?
Yeah.
If I learn Zachira from Leman Tizkor, then that's not an independent mitzvah. Right? I'm going to do something else so that I'll remember. If I see the mitzvah of Zachor, then I know when it comes to Shabbat, when it comes to Amalek, when it comes to Yetziat Mitzrayim, that means speak about it. That's the mitzvah d'oraita that the Rambam is going to count. Ela leman tizkor says that adle ilkai. A mitzvah de pesach umatzah shemach matan tizkor tiyom tizcha merit mitzrayim kol yamei chayacha. Amamei lashma amina tzarif lizkor yetziat mitzrayim kol yamim. So the leman tizkor de facto is not going to be counted as part of the mitzvot. But zachor, is that going to be counted as part of the mitzvot?
Yeah.
Totally, because that's an act of remembrance through Sipur.
Zachor counts, Tizkor doesn't.
Exactly.
Because Tizkor is Zechira, and Zachor is Mitzvah.
Yeah.
Can you repeat that?
Zachor equals actions. The reason why Zachor is like, so that's like, it's Sipur. Zachor equals Sipur, which is a mitzvah.
Okay, but
Tizkor is Zechida, which is like remembrance,
Laman,
which is like Shema.
It's a passive verb versus an active verb.
So like
passive verbs, the Rambam won't count as commandments. Active verbs, he'll count as commandments. Got it?
Cool.
You know?
Yeah.
So, point for Rambam, this is so fascinating. We have, even though, and Dina's right, that, well, we're also de facto fulfilling the Sefirat Yom Mitzrayim on the night of the Seder, but that we could also do through what?
Saying
Shema. But we have a few hours where we get to once a year fulfill the mitzvah d'oraita of Zachor, Hayom Hazeh. So now the question is, how do we do this? So, time for a Mishnah and Gemara. We're going to have a lot of fun. Here we go. Gaina Matzmitin, now perhaps the most famous Mishnah in Arba'i Pesachim, Mazgulo Koshini. Everyone see the Mishnah in the middle of the graph?
Yeah.
Mazgulo Koshini. Again, the first coast is a machloket, actually, between Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim. Whether it's Gaina, it counts as Kiddush, or whether it counts as the first of Arba Kosos, how do we pass in? Both, right? Gaina, so now we're up to the second coast. Vekan habenshu alaviv. So if I have a whiteboard, actually you have a whiteboard, but I don't want to give you the impression that you're actually in the classroom. So, again, imagine over here. Vekan habenshu alaviv. Right, stage number one, we want to see, and Chazal are going to teach us how to fulfill Sipur. Now, it seems that before the Mishnah, once upon a time, again, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, again, how did people fulfill Sipur? They literally, like we're in a living room like this in Yerushalayim, and they would be leaning on the couches, and there would be a table in the middle with the carbon pesach that was already slaughtered during the day and roasted, and throughout. And then we'd all be, and they didn't have cutlery then, so we'd all like take the, you know, the wings and the pulkies, and we'd be eating, you know, we'd be eating all this. Actually, no wings on. Again, I just like legal, so whatever. Again, not lambs or goats, what can you do? But, again, we'd be eating, and while we're eating, what would we do? Exactly, so not that it's recommended to like eat while you talk, but we're going to say, yeah, like meaning, we'd be like, what are we doing tonight? Oh my gosh, that's right, that's how Am Yisrael left Mitzrayim. Everyone see it was a more natural type of mitzvah.
Right.
Again, but now that we don't have the Karban Pesach, so this is, again, Chazal are going to teach us, and that's why many claim that this is actually a Mishnah Rishona, that even during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, a Mishnah Rishona means an early Mishnah, this is what was done, but we're going to see like transformations. So let's take a look. Kan haben shoel et aviv. Wait a second, I thought the mitzvah is Sipur. If the mitzvah is Sipur, then who should open? Vigatis alavincha. What do Chazal say? No. Better that the child begins. Why? Firstly, where did they learn that from? Better that the story is really a response to a child's question. Because in the Torah it says, Vayaki Yishalcha bincha machar lemor, then vigat tzal bincha bayam avu. Why else, by the way, just from basic pedagogy, you're all familiar with the Socratic method, right? That you draw people into the conversation with questions. Meaning, I don't want to sound pedantic when I teach my children, right? Okay, once upon a time, right? I'd rather them say, you know, Ima, can you read Harry Potter tonight? Mm-hmm. And then, why do you want me to read Harry Potter tonight? Well, because we're up to, I don't know, you name the scene, you know, of He Who Shall Not Be Named. And again, and I want to know what happens, right? Meaning, it's a way of stimulating their minds. It's a way of ensuring that they're going to be engaged. So, ideally, Haben Shoel Et Aviv. The Mishnah continues, Ben Ein Zat Beben. But if the child isn't old enough or wise enough to ask, then Aviv Malamdo, then the father, Gena, or let's even start this way, Shani, the Kanavin Shoal Aviv, the main topic, then Aviv Malamdo, and Gena, we're going to see, even if, again, the child doesn't ask, there are other options as well. And what does he ask? Manishtana Halaylaza, Mikol Halaylot. Initially, as you know, the fourth Manishtana, the fourth question was, why do we eat the Karban Pesach Tzli Eish, right? Again, we eat maror. Take a look at the fourth one. Any of you say this on the night of the Seder? No, because we don't eat our roasted
maror. My crazy one, the only one saying no.
Exactly. Oh. Thank you. Again, so this though proves that this was a Mishnah Rishona. Everyone see that this was a very early Mishnah. Again, so on the other nights we eat this. Ina nochayivim latol pamachad halayza shlipamim ulafida tol shoben aviv melamdo. And then, so that's stage number one, right? Stage number one is Haben Shoel Et Aviv. Stage number two, Aviv Malamdo. How is the father going to teach? Her answer, Matchil b'gnut u'misayim b'shvach. So that's stage number two. Again, the father answers, but in a very structured manner. What's the structure?
What's gnut?
Excellent. Gnut followed by shvach. What's gnut? The derogatory aspects followed by the positive. Right? So first, we're going to talk about how bad things were, and then we'll talk about how good things were. Right? That's how the father is going to retell the story. Right? Not just everything was amazing. Right? But no, first, things were bad in Mitzrayim. Again, let's continue. Stage number three of Sipur is Vidoresh Marami Ovedavi. Can anyone tell me, what does Vidoresh mean? Midrosh. So literally to extrapolate, to elicit teachings from other places, to dig into, right, the learning. That's a drasha. To dig further, right, not pshat, not even just the contextual, but to try to almost induce the text to teach us even more than that's there. That's Vidoresh Marami Ovedavi Achid Morkola Parsha Kula. Now let's go on to the next Mishnah. Don't worry, we're going to go back to the Gemara. Everyone see how many stages did we have so far? Aben Shoel, Aviv Malamdo, Matzkol B'gnot Masayim B'Shvach, Vidoresh. Take a look at the next Mishnah, the last line and a word on the page. Raman Gamliel Haya Omer Kol Shalom Amar Shlos Adavarim Elu B'Pesach Lo Yasa Yudech Vato Ve'eloin Pesach Matzo Umar Pesach Hashem Shepesach HaMakom Matza. Again, notice basically till the end of the Mishnah. Again, basically, what do we see? What's stage four? What would you call this? Pesach Matza Maror. What are these? So these are, they're part of Sipur. They're still part of Sipur, but what function do they play?
They're doing something.
Okay, they're the props.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I'm actually going to do what? Part of Sipur, to really retell the story, you can't help it. What are you going to start to do? Right, what do you do, like, when you're really into a story? Like, you
like
start
acting
it out, right? Even if it means Anna saying, like putting on the different voices of the different people, Anna. So that's really what's going on over here. Anna, let's even prove it. Pesach al shum she pesach hamakom abatei avatinu. Anna matzah, Anna al she shum she negalu avatinu b'mitzrayim. Maru ar shum she maru ha-mitzrayim et chayev avatinu b'mitzrayim shenemar. V'ayimaru et chayehem v'chol dor v'dor. Why do we do this? Why do we engage in these props? Because in every generation, chayev adam lerot et atmo. And according to the Rambam, laharot et atmo. This is also that you can fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur. Because ultimately you want your child to see it as if you've been leaving Mitzrayim. Again, for everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu has done. Lano again, Lakanes, Lamisha Salah, Sina, Lano, Colony, Samaylo, Hotian, Miam to the Hayward, Miam, the Sumpa, Mabel, Yamto, Mafil, or Gato, Mishuba, the Lua, the Naman, Panaha, Luca. There, that's the end of Sipur. How's that?
Great, did you end just now?
Hallelujah. Not a nice end? And then it says, Adhechana, Gana, then. What does it mean? Hallelujah, you're going to sing? Hallo. Till when? Adhechana Omer, Beit Shammai Omerim, until Ema Banim Smecha. But everyone agrees, v'chotem v'geula. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, asher galana v'galat avotim v'mitzrayim. V'lo ayachotem. Rabbi Kiva Omer, ken. Hashem alokin avokei avotinu yinu l'modim l'orgalim achirim habayim l'kratinu shalom. This is how we end Magid. Smechem v'vinyan yiracha v'sasim v'avodatacha v'nachal sham min hapsachim min hazvachim or min hapsachim min hazvachim. Ad baruchat Hashem ga'al Yisrael. Does that sound familiar? Excellent. That's why, by the way, there's a minhag on Shabbat HaGadol to revisit the Maggid part, right, from Kol Shalom Amar Shal Shal Dvarim Elu B'Pesach, Raman Gamliel, all the way through Dayinu, until basically we get to this bracha, to remind people, okay, you have to get into Pesach. Like, guys, it's already, it's less than, this is so weird, it's less than 30 days before Pesach. It's less than, think about it, less than, this is your second to last week of Chol Rav Zman. Do you remember this? And you only have like 5.5 weeks after... Okay, I'm not rubbing it in. Again, no, but it's really it's coming up. But it's so exciting that Pesach is coming up, but we have to be like really prepared for Pesach, right? Understand what Sipur is. By the way, do you guys have the mitzvah of Sipur, even without children?
Yeah.
Yes. Again, and we're going to prove it right now, right? Once you're, again, Gil Chinuch, not only your parents still have a mitzvah to educate you, but we're going to see this. Take a look back to the Gemara. Again, the Gemara, back to the previous Amu, Tanu Rabbanan Chacham Beno Sholo. When we said, the Mishnah said that the child has to be the one to start, that's only if he's sufficiently wise. What if, I don't know, he's a one-year-old. How is the father or the mother going to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur? If he's chacham b'no shalo, im eino chacham, then who has to engage? Ishto shalto, imla, let's say there's no wife around, so what are you guys going to have to do? Hushal Alatzmo, right? Which tells us, wait a second, if how many of you are going to be with your families for Pesach? Okay, so you can ask, but you also have to ask yourselves, right? Or have like younger kids ask, because you're going to have to teach others as well. Afilu shnei talmidei chachamim sheyodim b'hilchot haPesach sholin zeh zeh. Again, we want to make sure
that
you're all engaged, right? So we ask a lot of questions. And in my family, we, yeah, Anna, like the Rambam says, you're going to do strange things. The Rambam says, like, turn things upside down just so that the kids will ask. It doesn't even have to be something that's directly related to Yetziat Mitzrayim, just to already create some type of, again, questioning milieu so that they're all going to be, you know, putting on their inquisitive minds. And already that's why they rest. Everyone takes an Erev Pesach nap.
What about children who know more than their parents? So then asking questions
excellent
could be
question.
Like against Kavod Olim.
Is that so? What should they do? They should still. They should ask and hopefully the parents, if they have today, like, you know, they can have a nusach of a Haggadah, but then the child, if in fact there's no one else engaged, can engage themselves and be the ones to teach. That's what's so beautiful. That's why
a parent that can't answer their child isn't not in the mitzvah if somebody
so
else
that's
can.
That's a good question. Meaning every parent should, who knows about this mitzvah, should fulfill this mitzvah. Which means that sometimes if I know that my child is going to ask me questions that I don't know the answer to, what do I want to do?
Research
it. Right? And that's why it's so important, right? Everyone thinks, okay, we take out our Haggadot on Erev Pesach. No, we don't. When do we take out our Haggadot?
30 days
before. Right? Already start learning this and researching. And you all had the Pomerans came and sold Haggadot already? Today? Sorry? Oh, Sefer Vasefel came?
Yeah.
Yafem Ma'od and you all bought your Haggadot?
Two, three,
yafeh. Mm-hmm. Why? What was the point of them coming?
They're pretty.
But you choose one that like, you're interested in. Like, every
that's
year,
true.
Like it's nice to have like a new Haggadah. Right? Last year is Rabbi Sachs, and this year is Rav Soloveitchik. And next year, I don't know, meaning the excellent, the animated Haggadah, the Hogwarts Haggadah, whatever it may be.
I got the graphic novel.
Oh, the graphic novel that just came out. Very nice. It is beautiful. So this way, again, because you know that's going to keep you engaged on the night of the Seder. So mitzvian, adina kol hakavod. And let's continue. Ma mishtana alayla zem kol alaylot. So now we have to ask this, and the Gemara is going to say, wait a second, why do we say, again, amatzkitlei rabu atukol yamalos agiyel amatkul achadu adzimnaz. Why do we say, halayla zeh shtei pamim we tovel every night? Yeah, but what's strange about the night of the Seder is that we tovel twice. Okay, I'm skipping around the questions. Matzkul begnutum masayim b'shvach. Everyone see that?
No,
hold on. Gemara? Colon
here.
It's like 10 lines from the bottom.
10 lines from the bottom. Matzkol begnutum masayim b'shvach. Okay, that's very nice. What does that mean? What did the Mishnah mean? Start with something bad and end with something good. Machloket. My begnut. Rav Amar. What's the gnut? Mitzchila ovdei avodat gelulim hayu avotinu. What does that mean? Rav says, what should you start with?
Start with how they were like.
How our forefathers were.
Idol worshippers. No.
Were idol worshippers.
Yeah.
And what's the proof for this? How do we know that they were idol worshippers? And Sefer Yehoshua is going to quote that Terach, Abi Abraham, we're talking about, like, wow, 5 generations before Mitzrayim, Anna, that, yeah, our great-great-great-great-great-grandparents were idol worshippers. That's the gnut. By the way, it doesn't tell us what the shvach is, but if the gnut is they were idol worshippers, you tell me, what do you think the shvach is?
And look where we are today.
And then look where we are today is what?
Like,
That we accepted the Torah. Very nice. And now take a look at Shmuel. Shmuel says, Anna, Shmuel Amar Avadim Hayinu. And Shmuel says, what's the gnut? We were slaves. And what's the shvach?
That we're not.
And now we're not slaves.
Now slaves to God.
Exactly. Yafemod. But definitely now we're not slaves. Beautiful. Okay. I want you guys to put on your Midrash and Linda Mount thinking caps. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to give me an explanation as to what the difference is between Rav's approach and Shmuel's approach. Is it, I want you to give me a 4th grade answer, and then I want you to give me a 12th grade answer, and then I want you to give me a Midrash and Linda Mount answer. Stay there. Okay, 4th grade answer. What's the difference between saying the gnut is our forefathers were idol worshippers versus the gnut is our fathers were slaves in Egypt?
One is perceiving Yetziat Mitzrayim as like a, it's like a whole historical narrative as opposed to just the time we spent in Egypt.
Very nice. That's already, I would say, the 12th grade answer. Me too. Yeah, Femme Ode. Can anyone think like a 4th grader for a minute? I know it's very hard.
I don't know if it's 12th grade, but it wasn't 4th grade.
Excellent. So don't worry, Hadassah, we're going to get back to your very sophisticated approach. Beautiful. What's the difference between saying the Gnut is they were idol worshippers versus they were slaves in Egypt? Idol worshippers is more.
I mean, like, which one's more disgraceful? Like, is it being an idol worshipper or is it being in slavery?
Okay, it's true. Meaning they're debating what's the real Gnut, right. But what's the difference in the Gnut? One is
awful.
One is like
also you're like very sophisticated. And you can't even think like a 4th grader. I'm so impressed. And so one is a 4th grade. What do they teach you? Rav is talking about our spiritual adults. Right? Yes, it's so simple.
That's rude.
Yeah.
What kind of education did you get in 4th grade?
Again, and Shmuel is referring to our physical slavery, right? That's a simplistic. But Hadassah says, wait a second, this is so cool. Because if I look at the words, I see something very interesting. That Rav says, Mitchila hayu avotenu obdei avodah zarah versus abadim hayinu. What's the difference? So Hadassah, how you can say it. Hayu avotenu, you said it. Hayu avotenu avodah
zarah. It was one's like most we chose to be
exactly.
Obdei avodah zarah.
Everyone see that?
Yeah.
Hayu avotenu. Our forefathers chose to worship idols, and that's why what? That's the Gnut. That's what led to us eventually. It took a couple of hundred years, but eventually that's what led us to being slaves. Where Shmuel says, no, again, abadim hayinu. In other words, that's a passive term. It had nothing to do with us. We became slaves. We didn't do anything to deserve to become slaves. We just became slaves. Which, going back now to Hadassah, she said this before as well, the question is, how do we perceive history? Do we perceive history as we choose, or basically like rewrite history with God? Meaning, had we not worshipped Avodah Zarah, then maybe we wouldn't have been enslaved. Everyone see this? Or, what's Shmuel's approach? It has nothing to do with your choice. Rather, there's a divine destiny.
We have
right.
Human plans, God laughs.
Exactly. God planned it. God told Avram Avinu, whether you like it or not, you're going to have to go through this, whether you deserve it or not, in order to appreciate having a land. There. Two different approaches. Which approach do you like? Who likes Rav's approach? That we choose basically what happens to us. Who likes Shmuel's approach? That it's not about our choice.
Well, I like neither. I like the classic extreme. The first approach, because I think that I don't necessarily want a God. This is like very meta, I guess. But like saying like you deserve this, and like God is punishing you is sort of like hard to explain the Holocaust. Then
it's true, exactly. Meaning Shmuel's approach would explain the Holocaust much easier. Everyone see that? There are certain things that you can't explain. It was part of God's plan. Why? I don't know. And there are certain things that are just part of the entire trajectory of Am Yisrael. Whereas Rav would say, no, we must have done something. Maybe not even 10 years before. Maybe 100 years before. Maybe over the course, you know, from emancipation, over the course of 100 years, we became so assimilated and this is what led to it. Right? Could be. But we may not like that approach. Yeah. Right? There are two very different approaches. Different approaches.
Also, though, like, two things. The first is that I just think that it's hard to apply to our modern-day times, not because they're...
Which one?
Like, no, both in general. Like, these two extremes, just because I think that our relationship with God has changed. Like, and like, whether it be... Like, maybe you could say now it's different because of the fact that, like, coming back to Israel and our land, and so, like, where is the covenant staying? But at the same time, like, the concept of Hesteresir Tanai, when you guys aren't, like, following my ways, so I don't know, like, when that applies, when that doesn't, and so... We can't make that call, which is why I feel like we can't necessarily say when these answers, like when
apply.
It's what answer.
That's exactly it. That's why there's a debate.
Right.
Meaning, and it could be sometimes we appreciate Rav and sometimes we appreciate Shmuel.
Right. And then the second point I was going to make is that, like, I do think that here, though, it would make sense to say that, like, this was more planned just because of the fact that specifically when it came to this, exactly the Pesukim that you quoted, God tells Abraham, going into this, by the way, you are going to be slaves. I'm just letting you know.
So that's the question. Like, are they going to be slaves because we
but
did
I don't think
something
it's because
to deserve
of, right.
it? Or no, it had nothing to do.
I mean, well, God didn't say that it had to do with Like,
it's true, but in Sefer Yehoshua, Yehoshua says, it's it. Right?
What's Yehoshua
different
saying?
Accounts. Yehoshua like, says, and you know that your forefathers worshipped Avodah Zarah, and that's why they eventually had to go down to Egypt, where, again, ultimately, they were enslaved for hundreds of years until God miraculously took us out.
That's like pus, like straight up Pesha.
Oh, we're going to see it. Oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, in the case with, you know, slaves in Egypt, they don't necessarily have to be so mutually exclusive.
Correct.
I think you could say that, like, God knew we were going to be slaves, but, you know, we didn't say Egypt. He didn't say for how long. He didn't say how we were going to get end
Beautiful.
Up. Located.
Whose approach is that more, Rav or Shmuel? Totally rough. Why? Because Rav says, again, you did things that led to it. Meaning, what led us going down to Mitzrayim and not to Syria?
Yosef.
Right?
But,
meaning,
but it wasn't
you wrote
the slave. The
that.
Slave aspect was
correct.
Was a prophecy. Like they're not because I mean, I don't know.
Or
but like,
no, but
God
did.
I'm pretty sure God told Abraham we're going to be slaves. So like,
not exactly, says the Ramban. V'ger yezarecha ba'aretz lo'lehem. God said, what's going to happen to you? You're going to be strangers in a strange land.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that time, you're going to also be oppressed. I don't know how much. Like it says that Hagar oppressed, Sarai oppressed Hagar. How much? I don't know. I don't think she whipped her. Right? And so to a second class citizen, it's not going to be an easy life for you. But maybe because of Mechirat Yosef, maybe because we became so assimilated with the Egyptians, and that eventually, maybe because we didn't retain an entirely distinct identity. Now, it's easy, you're right, for Rav and Shmuel to look back, right, in hindsight,
yeah, right,
with 2020. But notice that even when they look back and see it differently.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to also put on our Madrasha Lindemann thinking caps. Right, here we go. You all took physics in high school?
Technically.
Yeah? Okay,
technically.
So this you know, I'm sure you know this. Again, when my father was in high school, he learned that. How does light travel?
Through waves.
And waves. When I was in high school, I was taught that light travels in particles, right, known as the quantum theory or the particle theory.
All right, you got a way better physics education.
No, no. You guys were in high school. What did you learn?
Both.
Excellent. Yeah, I guess
they. I did do that.
I like a book. Now, what's the difference between the wave theory and the particle theory? The wave theory believes that what? The light I see now came from where?
Source.
Yeah, not came from a source. And basically, again, I can't separate my the light that I see here from the source. Right? One relates to the other. Maybe a little dimmer. Again, whereas the particle theory believes that what? Every particle is its own, has its own identity. Okay, help me out here. Who believes in the particle theory? Who believes in the wave theory?
I just learned
but
about
that. But
can't
every
wave,
sorry?
Can every wave technically have its own, like, identity or so?
What?
Mm, but it's closed.
Wait, I didn't even
have, like,
I didn't
really multiple signs.
Once physics came to the picture, a little bit, like,
okay,
my
so
mind.
I didn't take physics.
Rav believes in the wave theory. Rav believes. It's something, if you look at something over here,
oh,
unless
I get
it
what
comes from what?
Okay.
Like Maria, nothing comes from nothing. It's somewhere in my youth and childhood. I'm not
there was a book, Something From Nothing, so just like my grandfather had made a code, and something got ripped, and maybe like ended up being a button.
Hmm, so cool. Very cool.
I like group that
Selling from nothing. Yep, them all. Okay, now, so basically, Rob says, again, in order to understand something that is happening now, what do you have to do? I have to look back, meaning it's not just our choices, everything is continuous. Whereas according to Shmuel, no. Can I understand like 2019 without understanding 1919? Shmuel believes yes, and Rob believes.
So he believes it's independent.
Excellent. So for example, if I was signing up for a course in Hebrew in the history of Jewish autonomy in the land of Israel, and I could take Rav's course or Shmuel's course. Rav's course would start when?
1948.
Avram, Rav.
Well,
I'd say Avram, but autonomy, maybe Tkufat David HaMelech, right? Or maybe Yehoshua, right? Again, whereas, and it would go all the way until today. Shmuel's course would start where?
1948.
Whose course would you sign up for? Again, it's by the way, this is a machloket, really, in history and Jewish intellectual history today. Again, do you learn more from a survey course, right, which will teach you certain trends? Again, or do you learn more from We're going to learn the Jacksonian era, right? Irregardless of the Emancipation Proclamation and irregardless of the breaking down of monopolies. This is North American. I'm sorry.
I do see U.S. history.
Yes, it's on the Jacksonian era.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. Yeah. Half standard. Ganna, so basically, Ganna, everyone see this? You have different views of history.
But doesn't one seem more obviously correct when you put it that way?
I have a reference, but maybe.
Even like the way you portrayed it already makes one sound so much more obvious.
But, for example, do you mind if I ask, can I understand Jewish autonomy in Israel starting 1948?
Yeah. You could be a little bit more liberal and start
argue,
like, you know, the first Aliyah.
1888. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I'm old. And I can understand it. I definitely could. Most of the classes that you're going to take, most of your history classes, are going to be more kind of particular periods in history. Shmuel's approach.
I'm not going to disagree that there. It's funny because you already knew which one I was saying seems more obvious. Uh-huh. I didn't even say which one. But, like, so it's obvious that seemed like the obvious one. But I'm not going to disregard that zooming in is so important. Like, obviously I'm saying both are important, but if you're looking at one to see like the more generally makes sense type of thing, you would say you look at for trends throughout history.
And isn't that interesting? That's what some people believe, and other people really till today believe. As a matter of fact, it doesn't even pay to look back at the Jacksonian era to understand U.S. economics today, because we're living in
different times
with... Exactly. Ghana, different scenario, different, an entire different executive government. Right. Ghana, so it really is different.
I hear.
It's not about the choices that we made then. Rather, maybe de facto, this is the situation that we're in. And there's so much meaning. Gush Katif, right? There was a whole religious crisis over Gush Katif. Is this what God wants, or is it because we made mistakes, right? And that's what led to it.
Interesting. This might be like too... But like at the same time when we're doing when we're making like halachic decisions, we don't go just back to the Torah and say what does the Torah say and then go apply it to modern days. We like go through like the halachic world.
So interesting that you should say this, because there's actually a methodological dispute between Rishone and Achrone Sfarad versus Ashkenaz till today. For example, and when Rav Avadia Yosef Zatzal wanted to know what the halacha was, what did he do? He went back and collected as many as possible. Again, what the Rishonim say, again, what the early Rishonim say, what the early Achronim say, and basically, how did he decide halacha? Excellent. 95 said this, 67 said this, halacha is going to be like?
The
95. That's more what? Rav or Shmuel's approach?
Shmuel.
I would say Shmuel, meaning. Because it could be depending on like what's here right now. Mm-hmm. Whereas, ready for this? Ashkenazim, the Maharshal, Rav Moshe Feinstein said, I'm not really sure. I'm going to go back to the Gemara and see how to learn or basically relearn the Sogya to understand how halacha applies today.
But they do,
that's more Rav's approach.
But they do look at the other people. As
totally,
like,
but they can. They feel fine.
But they,
if you look at Ashkenazi, Rishonim and Achronim, they're fine with saying. No,
they didn't understand my time period.
Exactly, the Rashba makes much more sense than the Ravid. Whereas Rabbi would say, no, the Rashba makes sense. The Ravid makes sense. Now let's see who agrees more with the Rashba, who agrees more with the Ravid. Mm-hmm. And by the way, do both shitot, do both methodologies make sense?
Yeah.
Yes. They're different, very different. Are they going to come out with different conclusions?
Yeah. Which halacha would you say, like, could you give an example of a halacha specifically that you could, like, bring that is an example of where you would see that?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Let's say, Kisoy Rosh, right? So, okay. Ashkenaz, Sfarad and Poskim today said, look, again, we see in the Gemara Shabbos that there were women who wore peyot, okay. Right? And I'm talking about wearing wigs. As a kisoy rosh, but it seems that like only older women decorative, and we see that throughout Shas and throughout Rishonim, it was always a redid, a mitpachat, right, a kalta, meaning different things that covered, so that it was very clear that there was a defined head covering, right, and therefore, again, the idea of wearing hair on your head, you see, there's never precedence for it, and therefore, shouldn't be mutar. This is already in the 16th century. And therefore, the Sfarads and Poskim continue that till
today,
because the Ben Ish-Chai says this, and everyone says this. Rav Moshe Feinstein said, wait a second, the whole point of a Kisoy Rosh is
covering.
Clear head covering. Again, that's a cover your hair. Cover your hair. Erva. So once we're covering the hair, can you cover your hair with hair? Mm-hmm. Yes. What if it's not 100% obvious that I'm covering my hair with hair? Okay, but technically, your hair is covered, and therefore, does it make sense to allow for a wig?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Makes more sense. Obviously, but there's no precedence. But it makes sense. Right? Two different approaches. See that?
Yes, I see the difference, but I don't see how it fits back into Rav and Shmuel.
Ah, because that, excellent. Rav would say, things develop with time. And so, for example, we're going to see this in just a minute. According to Rav, when Hashem promised to Abraham, did that expire with Yetziat Mitzrayim? No, Hashem took us out. But according to Rav, what happens over and over again? Hashem took us out, brought us to Eretz Yisrael, but eventually we're going to sin again. We're going to choose to sin, and then we're going to get kicked out. We're going to be slaves again, and then and I don't know if it's going to be 800 years or 200 years. We determine, right? We can revisit, right, the same issues in every generation. We can revisit hair covering again in 50 years from now. And the Sfaradi approach is more, no, again, whatever was decided then, that will continue, right? Because every generation is basically its own generation. And I don't have to look at the generations past. I just see, okay, this is what I got now. This is what I'm going to stick with. And with which, by the way, changes may occur more slowly, perhaps. And if something drastic happens, then it's clearly from God. Do you see this? So according to Shmuel, when Am Yisrael left Egypt, did Brit Bein HaBtarim expire? Yeah, God fulfilled his word. Okay, next time there's a galut, new galut, right? So, by the way, I want you to try to imagine this.
Whoa, hold on.
Now you'll see this, meaning every time period is its own time period. In other words, according to Shmuel, if you were living during the time of the Amoraim, and you were at Shmuel Seder in Pupedita, what would you talk about? Mitzrayim, right? And is there a lot to talk about?
Yeah,
I would talk about from Shmot Perek Aleph through Shmot Perek Yud Gimel, all the Peshatim, all the Parshanim, all the Midrashim. There is plenty to talk about. We're going to see. How is that? Rav Seder?
Talk about the new one.
I could talk about, not just, I would talk about the Holocaust, I would talk about pogroms, I would talk about crusades. Do you see that? Because they're all continuous. Don't worry, we're going to see it. Because what happened? Let's take a look. And now we're going to, we can already, by the way, the Rambam clarifies this very nicely, but let's actually turn to page number 3, the actual Nusach of the Haggadah. Ta-dam, with the Baal Haggadah, who lived after Rav and Shmuel, right? Rav is in Sura in Babel, Shmuel is in Pupedita. The Baal Haggadah, that apparently was also in Babel, and it's not one particular person, it's over the generations, basically compiling. Remember we said that in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, it was all more spontaneous. And then, after the Chorban, we actually have different formulas. Did Rav actually write down his formula as to what to say? No, right? He would just speak about all the choices we make throughout history and what that leads to. And Shmuel's approach would be very different. The Baal Haggadah basically put them both together. Isn't that cool? Now, which methodology would I expect first, Rav or Shmuel? Right, meaning Rav was mentioned first. I'd expect Rav first. However, on the night of the Seder, again, once I start with Rav, then guess what? It's never ending.
Yeah.
What? Right? Meaning I'd have to start with Terach and go all the way until today. Right? Shmuel, I'll start with 1350 and go to 1300, right? BCE. So, which one does the Baal Haggadah put first? I'm going to say the more straightforward, Shmuel, especially if you have young kids. How am I going to fulfill Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim according to Rav, again, in the hour that my kids are going to stay up? Can I fulfill Shmuel in an hour, technically? Yes, let's take a look. Therefore, which questions does he place first? We're going to start. Again, with that first, we're going to see there really is a Seder to the Seder. Again, we start with Halach Ma'anya, Diachalu Avatana, also in the time of the Gaonim. I'm going to invite people in. Hashat Tahacha, this year we're here. Lashana Ba Ba'arad Yisrael. Anyone remember how do we end the Haggadah? Lashana Ba Yerushalayim. Or Yerushalayim HaBnuya. So we already have a bookend, right? Next year, we hope to be back in Yerushalayim. Again, even though we're in Galut now. Again, next year in Yerushalayim, which already tells us the Baal Haggadah sees this as clearly, right? A broader, perhaps chiastic, but for now, an inclusio structure. There was a question.
This was just a practical question. The time period that Shmuel is focusing on is like the Yitziyah Mitzrayim time.
From Avadim Hayinu LeParo
Mitzrayim
until Yitziyah Mitzrayim. Basically, Shmuel Perek Aleph until Shmuel Perek Yibet.
Okay, so
that's still a lot.
No, it wasn't a lot. I thought you meant like because you said. Maybe I'm just confusing, but I thought you said Shmuel, and you would talk about the Holocaust and the.
No, Rav. If I say Shmuel, Rav, we'll talk about the Holocaust. So, let's start just like the Mishnah, right? Haben Shoel et Aviv. Man Ishana Alayla Zemikol Alelot. Does that fit nicely with Shmuel? Why am I eating matzah? Why am I eating maror? Yes, why?
It's just what's there that night.
To the point, and they all relate to what?
Yitziyah
Mitzrayim. Right? Sure enough, take a look. Matchil Haben Shoel Aviv Melamdo. What does the Mishnah say? How does the father teach? Matchil B'gnot Umasayim B'shvach. Who's Gnot is here? Avadim Hayinu, Hayinu, LeParo B'Mitzrayim. Whose opinion was that? That was Shmuel. Take a look and see how the Baal Haggadah, obviously her manuscripts that he's elaborating upon. V'yatzinu Hashem Elokeinu Misham, V'yad Chazaka U'Mizroa Netuya. Right? That's Gnot and Shvach. V'yir Avadim Hashem took us out. Well, that was simple. V'ilu, why do we have to talk about it today? V'ilu lo hotziya kadosh baruch hu t'avoteinu b'Mitzrayim, harei anu bnei vaneinu, mishuvadim hayinu LeParo B'Mitzrayim. Did this ever bother you? According to Shmuel's approach, had God not taken us out, then what would have happened? We would still have been enslaved. So I don't know. Again, we're living in a 21st century, democratic countries. Do you think we'd still be enslaved?
No.
I'm sure like the UN would, you know, have done something. Or maybe not. Yeah, no, but basically...
Is that Mishubadim by God, though? Or by...
Ah, so very nice. Mishubadim. We would have been by God. So that's exactly... That's the point, Jackie. 100%. Meaning... The whole idea is that we believe that, why were we in Mitzrayim? Because God wanted us in Mitzrayim. So had God not wanted us out of Mitzrayim, what would have happened? We would have stayed in Mitzrayim. So the Shvach is, thank God, literally, that he took us out of Mitzrayim. And there, that's the Shvach. V'apilu kolanu chachamim, kolanu nebunim, kolanu skinim, kolanu yudim et tatar, mitzvah minu saper b'tiyam to Mitzrayim, v'cholam arbel saper b'tiyam Mitzrayim ha'reizim shubach. Why does Shmuel have to say that? Again, it's not really Shmuel, it's Shmuel's Nusach, right? Why do you have to say that? And even if you're so smart, there's a lot that you can elaborate upon. Because some of you are saying, Shmuel's approach is like a little simplistic. But actually, there's a lot to say about those 12 chapters in Egypt. So don't worry. Maaseh, I'll prove it to you. I call this the 5-star Seder in Bnei Brak. Everyone ready? Who are my 5 stars? Not the hotel. But Masab Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Nazariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, Shayum Mesubin, B'Bnei Brak. Who lives in B'Nei Brak? Rabbi Akiva. Vayu Mesafrim B'Tziyam Mitzrayim Kolotu Alayla. Again, you don't think that you could employ Shmuel's approach and talk about it the whole night? Well, Rabbi Elazar was doing it, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yeshua. Again, Ad Shavu Tamidim Ramulam, Rabbotinu Giyazman Kriyat Shma Shal Shacharit. What are they telling them? You already finished Sipur, now it's time for Zachira. They're all beautiful midrashim over here as well, that they were dafka by Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva is an optimist, and it was right after the Churban Beit HaMikdash, and they were asking Rabbi Akiva, how do we go on during the time of Galut? And that was the whole point. He was trying to tell them that if you talk about Galut, if you talk about Avadim Hayinu LeParo Mitzrayim, then eventually you reach the time of Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharit. Then you get to the light at the end of the tunnel. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, okay. It's nice.
Amar Elam Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Again, what we saw in Brachot, Balelot, Achadrasha ben Zoma, Shinamalamantis Gortium Titram, Ritzim, Kalimachayah, Yamechayah, Yamin, Kalimachayah, Halelot, the Chachamum, Yamechayah, Lamazah, Yamechayah, Ladimot Mashiach. In other words, again, from here we see that you don't just talk about Yitzhak Mitzrayim during the day, you talk about it also at night. And why do we say this then as part of Shmuel's approach? Because I have a night to talk about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So, again, use your time well and talk about Dafka Avadim Hayinu LeParo B'Mitzrayim. What then is the Shvach? Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Right? Baruch Shanatan Torah Lama Yisrael. We were slaves and then God took us out and He gave us the Torah. Okay, the end. Yatzati Yedei Chovati. I can put my 5-year-old child to sleep. And do I know that I fulfill Tikkur Yetziat Mitzrayim? According to? Excellent. Everyone ready? Time to start again. This time according to? Rav. So technically you should say, wait, even according to Rav, how do you have to start? Aben Shoal et Aviv. The child asks the question. So should we ask Manishtana again? That would be a little redundant. But also, Manishtana, those questions don't really suit Rav's approach. Why not?
Because they're very in this moment.
They're very in this moment. Beautifully said. So, what are Chazal going to do? Chazal do this. It's a beautiful mechilta that Rabbi Leibtag taught you.
Oh, not yet. We're doing it.
Yeah, you're doing it this week. Excellent. You're going to say, Shani alluded to it. The Seder. Again, he's going to show you how, and based on Shat, there are 5 times in the Torah that it says, V'igadat ala b'ncha b'yomahu, and 4 of them begin with, V'ayaki yishalcha b'ncha machar limor. That, again, no, sorry, 3 and 4. Again, 4 times it says, V'igadat ala, 3 out of the times it says that your child is going to ask you, so what did the Baal Haggadah do? He said, we need more complex questions for Rav's approach. And what did he do? He searched through the Torah. Are there 4 complex questions? Or there are 3 of them. And therefore, what the Medrash already did is said, you know, there are different questions that actually suit different types of children. And therefore, Gana, can I get our Babanim Debra Torah? When you're going to relate Rav's approach to how the father is going to teach, realize that Rav's approach can be catered to different types of children. Why? Think like a teacher. Why is Rav's approach much more, I'm going to say, applicable to different personalities and different kids?
Because when you zoom
out, focus on different things.
I can focus on different things. So, for example, I have my 18-year-old yeshiva bachur son. Right? What am I going to talk to him about to make Yetziat Mitzrayim come alive for him? Torah, totally. Like it makes sense, Rav's approach, right? How do we understand what the time of the Pesach is, and that's the geschmack of Torah. Oh, it's a real Brisker Torah that I'm telling you right now. Again, it's the geschmack of the Torah, that's the time, right? And that applies in every generation. It's not literally the taste of the Afikomen, it's the taste of Torah. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, that's what I'm going to tell my 18-year-old son. Again, Yishev Racha, what am I going to tell, again, my 22-year-old Chiloni cousin at the Seder. Social justice. Again, these are stories of our history. And let's talk a little bit about the Holocaust and the nature of God. Right? Everyone see this? We can engage. How about my a 20-year-old, very questioning daughter? About, like, why is this even relevant to us?
You could do the social justice part also.
I can do, exactly. I can say it's not just Yetziat Mitzrayim, it's in every generation. And that's right, we're
talk
oppressed.
About history as a whole.
Exactly. How about my 12-year-old son? According to Rav, how am I going to make it relevant to him? I'm going to talk about...
I mean, you can bring in more complex with Josh.
Very nice.
Like,
beautiful. Excellent. I'll talk about how he always feels he doesn't have enough time to get done what he wants to get done, right? So his oppression is, he's oppressed by a lack of time. That's a good one, right? Fine, a little complex. No, not for him. he would totally get it, right? Rabbi Yehuda Levi actually has a beautiful, beautiful poem about how we're abadim to time, right?
Which poem is it?
It's called Abadim Lezman. Ask Rav Ohad. Are you friendly with Rav Ohad to our leave?
Haven't been with him once.
Ask him. Say, Shani said that you love the poem Avadim Lezman of Rav Yehuda Levi. Can you teach it to me? You'll automatically get it.
Can you write that down in Hebrew for me?
Who's your translator?
Shachar. She's been really nice to me.
How about Ariel?
Ariel told me that she thinks bringing a student would be smarter.
Okay.
So this is a girl in the Israeli program who's
my roommate.
Friend.
Nice.
She's
in this
woman. Shachar is your roommate?
Wow. Here we go. So now, Rav. Yeah.
This is related. Why can't we, what we're doing with Shmuel's approach, why can't we do that with Rav's approach?
It doesn't, what do you mean?
Like, you can do, you know, your social justice talk, you know, with Yechiel named me 22-year-old cousin, you know, but
I
focusing
could.
On Yetziat Mitzrayim.
I could, totally, totally.
But
it would be more, like, focused on Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
Versus
but,
I wouldn't have, like, a whole like, discussion about the Tocqueville's America.
The
right?
What?
The Tocqueville?
The what?
The democracy? The Tocqueville?
Yeah.
Sure.
There's a Toast Vote of America. I was like, I don't know what that means.
Also,
he is like the Toast Vote of America.
Also
really. He explains in basically the period of expansion, right? Like the Louisiana Purchase,
yeah.
How America was losing sight of its democratic ideals.
Interesting.
And colors. So, yes. And so, back to, so I could. Yeah, no, but I think Rav's approach lends to it more, but it definitely could. No question. Gana, so that's why Keneged Arba Banim Debrat Torah relates much more. Again, Rabbi Rizkin always likes to say that in each and every one of us is a little bit of a Chacham and a Rasha and a Tam and Sheino Yodei Lishol, but basically it's saying, here's a very broad approach. Let's prove it. Yachol mi Rosh Chodesh. Why is this Mishnah put in Rav's? Because according to Shmuel, I have to prove that. I can talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim all night. But according to Rav's approach, the night isn't enough, right? What would I need? Maybe I can really start this Sipur business from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because am I going to need about 2 weeks to talk about Rav? Yes. Gan Talmud Lomar Bayomahu. That's why the Torah needs to tell you that the mitzvah only applies when?
On that day.
Okay, here comes the Gnut. Mitzchilov de'avodah zarah yovotenu. And then what's the Shvach? We chose to be avadim to avodah zarah, v'achshav kevanu hamakom la'avodato. And then God gave us an opportunity to worship Him. Shenemar, here's the Yoshua pasuk. Vayomer Yoshua kol ha'am kol ma'ar shem Elokei Yisrael v'ibraner yeshvotecha ma'olam tarach avi Avraham avinu achor v'yavdu elohim achayim. Once upon a time, your great grandfather was an idol worshiper, and then I brought your father Avram, and I brought him to Eretz Knan. And then I gave him Yitzchak, and I gave Yitzchak to Yaakov and Esav, and I gave Esav our Seir, and Yaakov and his children were brought down to Mitzrayim. See that? Gana, that's the continuous journey. So then according to Rav, what's the Shvach? It's not just, okay, God took us out of Mitzrayim and gave us the Torah. End of story. Excellent. Baruch Shomer Havtachato Yisrael Baruch Hu. What's so great? According to Rav, the story never ended.
Right.
It's the never-ending story. Where are we in the Shvach?
We're part of it.
And by the way, because it's 2019, where are we in the sine curve? Are we more?
We're up.
We are so up. And by the way, can we stay up?
Hopefully.
Who's it up to?
Us.
Yeah. Again, will there maybe a down? Will there be, again, a regression? Again, going down to 100%. By the way, just go back. 70 years, where were we? Again, a third of world Jewry completely wiped out. 2/3 of European Jewry annihilated. And so it depends. Again, we're still part of the sine curve. Come on, this is so beautiful. Again,
don't worry.
I like Shmuel too. Rather leads to Baruch Shomer Havtachato Yisrael Baruch Hu. And that's why, what do we do right after? We lift up our cups, right? You know, the Maccabees. What's the vihi? It's not the cup of wine that has stood for generations. What's vihi? The haftacha, right? The nekiva. Baruch shomer haftacha tol Yisrael vihi shamda labotenu v'lanu. And that's what we're still part of. Wow. Beautiful. Wait, but that was only Kan aviv malam dom. That's the b'gnotu m'sai m'shvach. Who remembers part 3 of Sipur? Turn the page. What's part 3? The doresh. What's the doresh? You guys have been learning Gemara all year. How does the Gemara, so cool. How does the Gemara begin by telling you, go learn a little deeper. What's the term that's used?
Sailing.
No, in Gemara. Tashma. I got the name of the Lindemann alumni review. Tashma. You know that? Tashma. What does Tashma mean?
Oh,
no. Ulamad. Go out and learn. Learn again a little deeper. What are all these, by the way? Arami Yovei Ravi. What does Arami Yovei Ravi mean? Vayored Mitzrayimah, B'tei Ma'at, Shivim Neshe, Vayusham Lagoi, Melamitra Yisrael Mitzuyanim. What are all these quotes of? Midrashei Chazal, right? These are all Midrashim. This is the perfect time, by the way. Do I just have to, you know, this is when a lot of people at the Seder go like this. They want the tomato already, right? And the chicken soup. But no, you're missing the point. What's the whole point of this part of the Seder?
To go into it.
To go into it, deeper. And by the way, this is the time that, what are you supposed to do? Do I have to stick just to this Nusach? No, I start again, Matzchel B'Gnut U'Mesayim B'Shvach, but much more B'Iyun. Matzchel B'Gnut, Aramiya B'Iravi. The Pshat is, my father, Avram, was a wandering Armenian. The Drash is, Lavan tried to wipe out my father, Yaakov. Right, do you remember this? These are all Midrashim. And the Gnut, and then what's my Shvach? Kama Malot Avod L'Makom Aleinu. But I'm going to, instead of Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, what do we have instead? Kama Malot Avod L'Makom Aleinu. The same phrase of Makom, but a much later piyut that basically elaborates upon the phrase. Now, like midrashim, every stage of riyot, every stage is going to be important. Al achat kama v'kama tovot fula mukhpel l'makam aleinu she'atziyanu mimitzrayim. We talk about all the good in a much more elaborative way. This is where you're going to say, oh, you're brilliant, Linda Mount Devery Torah. Why? This is part of trash. This is when you get into it. This is when you don't have like the Devery Torah contests on the night of the Seder. Like that.
That's cute. That's so cute. We have the Mar'i contest.
The what?
Mara reading contest.
Oh, Mara reading contest. Okay, so that's not yet. That's going to be the next stage. What do I mean by the next stage? Okay, now I'm really into the story. I'm ready, like, now I'm getting into it. I'm getting into it. And then what happens when I get into it? The fourth stage. Who's the fourth stage? Rama Gamliel Hayomer. Now it's time to act it out. Now, take the props, right? You're so into the story, and this is really what happens. Now, make all the voices. Now, dress up. Now, again, I'm going to leave Pesach Matzah Maror. Pesach Zeh. What do we keep doing? What's the Zeh? There's a point, and time's lifted up. Again, Matzah Maror. And then, I have Rechol Dabadar Chayav Adam Lirot Et Atzmo, because I want to see myself as part of the story. The Rambam says, don't even read it as Lirot, read it as Laharot. Show your child that you're part of the story. How am I going to show my child that I'm part of the story?
Dress up.
Become part of the story. So, again, you can dress up as a Holocaust survivor. You can dress up as Spanish, Murano. You can, do you see this? Act this out, get into the story, right? This is when people become like super creative. And it depends. I don't know, if I have like 40-year-olds at the table who are like so not creative, then I'm going to try other means, right? Maybe I'll play like code names. I'm actually doing that this year. So cool, actually. Last year, everyone came into the Seder room. And I gave them, we always do like cool things according to the Rambam. And I started telling you this, that even before the Seder begins, you should already arouse everyone's curiosity. So he says, like, turn the tables upside down. So what we do is everyone has to find their place of the Seder. So a few years ago, I did like riddles, but the answer to your riddle was on someone else's place card. So that's where you were sitting. So like everyone went around, and that was a lot of fun. And one year we did, everyone's name was written in ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. So we had a code. But like it took a long time. But again, everyone found their names. We did ones like mirror mazes. So last year I did we're leaving Mitzrayim, I'll come Nisharim, right? On an LL flight. So everyone had a flight attendant and the stewardesses, kerchiefs, and I was a little chauvinist. But Gena and everyone had a seat number. Right? One Aleph, two, Beth, whatever it was. Again, it arranged like a flight, and we had like a lot of props around, and everyone was given a ticket from Egypt. It was LL Airlines, but from Cairo, it was from Ramses, Egypt. Right? It was from Ramses, too. So actually, we came to Yericho first, so whatever. Gena, everyone, though, was given a UNY tote bag. What was in the tote bag?
Matzah,
of course. And what else?
Maror.
Beautiful. What else?
A piece of lamb.
So, no, that's on the table. But a bottle of water. And this way, they also had it for the Pesach Tulim. And sunglasses in the midbar. Of course, you need it. And also, something in their tick that was associated with that person's name, right? Because according to Chazal, everyone maintained their name. Like I have a nephew, Binyamin. What did I put in his tick?
A golden cup.
A golden cup.
Oh.
And a kiva. What I put in a kiva's tick?
A beard.
Cute, but a smiley face keychain. Why?
Because he was like, God, they went in for the positive after the business.
Very sure. Yeah, fam odd. Yeah, now what was Zena? My mother is Riva Devora. What was her name?
Honey?
Honey. Koshil Pesach Honey. My son is Usher. What do I give Usher? My Usher Shmeina Lachmo. And not the not lechem.
Oh my! I'm so sorry. I just said lechem.
Wait, can
shemen.
I understand how you're doing code names?
Oh yeah, really so cool. Code names is really cool. If you want, I can send it to you. Again, so all different, meaning everything
day?
That has to do with Pesach, and you know the red team and the blue team. But we're also doing code names and ticket to ride. This time we're leaving Mitzrayim on a train, and I did a whole ticket to ride game.
Is it ready already? Like,
wow.
You really are like
I spent like a whole year. Like wow. Comparing why? Because I have one night to be like the paradigm.
And everything
I was
going to
say the paradigmatic mechanech. So I have to say like this is what I do my whole life. Like I have I can now do it as a mitzvah.
You're really very cool.
Yeah.
my God.
Here we go. Here we go.
How many people do you have at your center?
So we have like 50 people.
Beautiful.
It's really beautiful. Yeah. So, yeah, it does. But like everyone's already into it. It's like
is it like the same?
How long
does
the general
or is it like each year there's new people?
So there are some. We went on one of the 8 children. So it's my parents come to Israel every year.
Are all 8 of you in Israel?
So no, only 3 of us. And every year, like, a different sibling comes. But this year, I have 2 siblings coming with their kids. So 5 out of 8 of us and all the kids are going to be here with
amazing.
My parents and my in-laws and my children and my grandchildren. And thank God.
Wow.
So what time does it usually go to?
Very, very, very late.
Early.
Exactly. So I'm going to be honest that here's my excuse. I don't make Pesach because I teach Torah for Pesach. We go to Wet the Kinar. In the Galil, so we teach Yurim every single day. So we're in the hotel. So they give us like half the chadar ochel.
And that's where you get to set up and do your.
So I spend like hours like setting it up, and then.
Sounds
so cool. Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm talking about it. Okay, and what's the goal then by the end? Again, take a look at this. The goal is first. There is no way that my child. Again, and we're going to see this, that the goal of Sipur is so that everyone's going to praise Hashem. But I'm only going to praise Hashem if I feel that I was part of it. How in the world is a story that happened 3,000 years ago then going to engage me? How is a story that happened 3,000 years ago going to be interesting to my children? What's the answer? If they see that,
you're
interesting
interested.
To me. That's exactly it. If they see that, I'm engaged. That I'm not falling asleep, that this is important to me, then they'll realize, oh my gosh, it must be somewhat important if my mother's going a little crazy right now, right? And that's exactly it. But the only way that I can make it important to me is if I become part of the story. Now I say that's like, again, to make sure that when you think of, again, just like you can't separate Daniel Radcliffe from
Harry
Potter, you can't separate like Sylvester Stallone from
Rocky.
High point.
Nice.
Excellent. Gana, that's really it. Gana, excellent. Gana, that's the point. I too, on one hand, I act the part, but when I act the part, I become that person. Right? Oh my gosh, I'm so into the story. Does that ever happen to you? Like you are so much part of, I don't know, a novel that like you see
you
yourself
like you're
as
in it.
Heroine,
yeah.
You feel that you're in it. That's the goal. And how did the Mishnah told us, Chazal said, how do you do that? First, you engage your child. Then you're going to
zoom in, then zoom
excellent.
Out.
Excellent, zoom in, zoom
and
out.
Then
that was beautifully
teach and
said.
Search and
then,
understand.
Excellent, beautiful. Teach, again, make sure that you engage
and then
even more.
Part of it.
Become
and,
part of it.
Oh,
this
and
is so
then,
good.
What do I feel? Bavor zas Hashem, leave it to Tim time. Wait a second. Law double table, Vadgala Kadosh Baruch Hu, Allahu Tanu Gali Mahim. Wait a second, I'm part of this also. Again, which is definitely built off a little bit more of Rav. Right, that, hey, I'm really part of this continuous cycle of history. Lepichach, anachnu chayivim lodot la'alel shvech lefer l'romein. I have to thank Hashem. Again, and what do I say? Hashem, for all that you did to Avotenu, vilanu. Right, I'm part of this story. Akol anisim. And wait a second, if I'm part of the story, then that means it really is a continuous story. V'nomar l'fanav shira chadasha. then even if I'm not in the state of Geula now, I know that eventually, if I'm part of the story, and the story has been kept alive in a collective memory for 3,000 years, and you all know this, Professor Yerushalmi, a collective memory, Rabbi Sachs speaks about this as well. I don't know exactly what happened in Yetziat Mitzrayim, but the Torah tells me how we're supposed to remember it. Isn't that so cool? Again, I don't know exactly, you know, how Yom Tov took place, but the Torah tells me how to remember Kriyat Yom Tov. And if I then have kept this memory alive as part of, again, a legacy that was important to my parents and grandparents, and blah, 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 then I can pass it on to my children. And why is it so important that I pass this message on to my children? Because they have to know that they're part of this history too. And if they're part of this history on the sine curve, then what are they going to know? Then there's going to be another Geula, and maybe another Galut, but another Geula. And that's what they'll continue to aspire to. But there's no way, whether it's Shmuel or Rav, it doesn't make such a difference with regard to whether or not they're going to feel connected or disconnected to what generations of the past. And that's why I then, take a look at this, I then start singing Hallel. What's the difference between Hallel and Shira? So Hallel is praise to God. Shira is a spontaneous, right? As Yashir Moshe. So on this night, I want to really sing spontaneously. But I already have Hallel, so I start, but notice I don't say the whole Hallel. Thomas says, I break forth in Hallel. I can't help it. Why can't I help it?
Because you're so grateful.
I'm so into it. I'm so grateful, right? I just, oh my gosh, I can't help it. And it's so nice. Like, not when everyone says, okay, on the count of three, we're going to start. No, it's not supposed to work that way. How is it supposed to happen? Spontaneous. Again, everyone gets up and dances. Baruch atah Hashem asher ga'alanu. Hashem, thank you so much for saving us. Oh yeah, asher ga'alanu, definitely. You also saved my forefathers. But really, it's because of us. Agulatenu v'alpudut nafshenu. And that's why we can thank you, Hashem, not just for what you did in the past, but for what you do now and for what you will do. And that's why we can end the Seder with Lashana Hada, Yerushalayim.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank
you. Amen.
This Simcha, and I know that your driver is here.
Did somebody give him somebody's
number? Well, I told him.
We should call him.
I texted him at 10:20, so we have.
But he didn't respond.
He didn't respond, but.
Yeah. It's a good thing if they drive by and respond.
I have a question.
I was going to say. Any question?
We don't have to say a bracha on Hallel.
Night of the Seder. Excellent point. Why
not? That's because of the spontaneity aspect
totally.
Of it.
Yes.
So why do you think, like we said, we were just discussing this today, and I was curious, why do you think we say Hallel with the bracha on Yom HaTzmaut?
Beautiful, beautiful, because
so people don't say
recognize, right, but for
but
different
it's
reasons.
Because
anytime
like,
we say with the bracha,
it's not always because it's anti-Zionist.
Right.
It's not usually because it's of this reason, though. Which
No. It's anytime we say with the bracha, that means there's a chiyuv to say it. That Chazal instituted, this is a day that you should express song to Hashem.
But we very much have to here.
Exactly. Here, it's not because you have to. What do you have to do? Sipur. It's not something you don't have to say Hallel. That's why some shuls, they say Hallel at night in the Beit Knesset. Some don't. They definitely don't say it with a bracha on shul. Why not? Because it's supposed to be more spontaneous.
But
Rosh Chodesh, it's here. Oh, wow. Rosh Chodesh, Chagim, what's the point? There's kind of something up there. It's a day that you're supposed to be Sameach. The barometer of Simcha is whether or not you say Hallel. So that's the machloket. The machloket is a very halachic machloket. Is Yom HaTzma'ut, does it fit the formula of a rabbinic holiday that you would say Hallel for? So some believe yes. With a bracha. Some believe yes. Some believe no, because it's not a rabbinic holiday because
It came too late.
That's exactly it.
What do you
believe? But I say it with a bracha because the rabbanut and Arashid said, it follows the model. You're happy. It is like Mitzrayim. Just say it with a bracha. But those who say it without a bracha are also very Zionistic. What are they saying? It may not be modeled after, you know, it's too late to call it a rabbinic, you know, formulation, but we still feel happy, so we're going to say hello.
You repeat the reason why the rabbinut says that you need to do it with a bracha?
Because they believe that it does follow the model of a halakhic day that one would be required to say Hallel.
And what's that model?
The how many is it? 1, 2, the 14 days a year when we say Hallel. Days of Hallel and Hoda'ah. Days that we were saved from some type of Tzara. So what are those days? Beyond Rosh Chodesh, they're the days of Pesach, basically the 7 days of Pesach, the 8 days of Sukkot, the 1 day of Atzeret, of Shavuot, and what am I leaving out? 1 second, 14, no, that's it. And then Rosh Chodesh, because that was a separate takana for half a day. Oh, and not the days of Hanukkah as well, right? Were instituted rabbinically. Mm-hmm. So, and that's the whole thing. Wait, and how about Purim? So that's a machloket as well. We really should, but the Megillah serves as Hallel, so that was the takana of Chazal. So it's a very interesting sugya. Mm-hmm. So that's the machloket.
Also, I was just going to say, like, so the entire part of Rav and Shmuel, is that sort of like, the reason why I came in through like a whole, like, Rambam, Rashi, like, all these different opinions is because it's like the same exact concept as like Tiskor and Zachor, and like that the whole bottom line is it is the mixture, but we also separate them the same way we do in the actual, like, that would be the first part of the question, then the second part, and then the ultimate answer is like go be Doresh, go keep on answering, and then act it out. Like, at being
that's
Doresh.
That's a fulfillment
of
Zachor.
Oh,
exactly.
And Zachor is support, and then we act it out in the next step, which is the final.
Exactly.
I just wanted to. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That part is part of Sikor.
Thank you.
Zachor is Sikor. It's the mitzvah of Sikor. We have all these four
things. So cool.
That's the path for filling it. And I'm sorry that we didn't get the chance for question answers.
Thank you
and
so much.
Next time, can you do me a favor? Can you take the mentor?